way.
Just what does the government of Belarus fear? The and intelligence of fellow Belarusians? How very elitist, how very intolerant. The United States supports the democratic aspirations of the people of Belarus. President Lukashenko should do the same.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
I'm Tony Collins with VOA's Today in History. On December 26, 1972, former U.S. President Harry Truman died at age 88 in his home state of Missouri. Truman, who had been vice president, became president in April 1945 when Franklin D. Roosevelt died. Less well-known and less experienced than Roosevelt, Truman nevertheless earned the respect of many Americans. He presided over the closing months of World War II and the sometimes uneasy peace that followed, earning his own term in office in the 1948 presidential election. Truman chose not to run again in 1952 and was succeeded in January 1953 by Dwight D. Eisenhower. For the remaining 20 years of his life, Truman lived in his hometown of Independence, Missouri. He remained active for many years, taking part in Democratic Party politics, writing books, and making speeches. He continued his routine of taking brisk morning walks, chatting with those reporters who were fast enough to keep up with him. Following his death on the day after Christmas in 1972, Truman was buried on the grounds of his presidential library in Independence, Missouri. On December 26, 1966, the African-American holiday of Kwanzaa was observed for the first time. Kwanzaa celebrates African culture and is based in part on the harvest celebrations of ancient Africa. The word Kwanzaa comes from a phrase that means first fruits in the Swahili language. The seven-day festival was developed in its modern form by Maulana Karenga, an African-American scholar and activist. Kwanzaa emphasizes the importance of family and community. A candle is lit on each of the festival's seven nights to represent seven principles: unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith. I'm Tony Collins with VOA's Today in History.
Africa, welcome to Daybreak Africa from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Monday, December the 26th, and here are some of the stories we are covering this morning.
In our view, it's very strange that they could have come out with that statement, which would certainly give the impression that they've already made up their mind that government is wrong.
That's Uganda Information Minister Nsaba Buturo on why his government is accusing the judiciary of partiality. Peter Clotty will tell us why some police officers are declared wanted in Ghana. The World Food Program says it's strapped for cash.
The lack of funding has forced WFP to cut food rations for Liberian refugees in Guinea several times since August 2004. The 1,835 kilocalories they get now are just 87% of what they should eat to stay healthy.
That's WFP spokesman Simon Plews. Pope Benedict XVI celebrated his first Christmas yesterday. This morning, we look back at Africa's first reaction to his election. We also look back at the legal status of East African women. Those stories plus your weather forecast and Mark Oldman's sports. The Ugandan government is accusing its own judiciary of favoring jailed opposition leader Kizza Besigye. In a statement Friday, the Ugandan Supreme Court took issue with the military's invasion of the court on November 16 during a trial hearing for Mr. Besigye. The court described the military's action as a desecration and a violation of the independence of the judiciary. But Information Minister Nsaba Buturo takes issue with the court's language. He explains to me why.
First of all, there is a case before the Uganda High Constitutional Court, and that case was submitted by the Ugandan Law Society. And now we thought that the statement which the judiciary has given is really connected with that very case which they have not yet heard. In our view, it's very strange that they could have come out with that statement, which certainly gives the impression that they've already made up their mind that government is wrong, and so they came out with an advert suggesting that.
You have said all along, Mr. Minister, that Uganda has an independent judiciary. The action you are taking indicates that you don't trust the judiciary.
Oh, I think there is a huge dose of exaggeration there. And I want to tell you and our listeners that the independence of judiciary you're talking about, it is this government that is the midwife of that very situation. We are proud of our record. We have no intention whatsoever of undermining the record that we have now of having an independent judiciary. I want to say to you that at the time what you've said happened, there was an unusual situation that demanded that kind of action to be taken. Let me also say that it's not true that armed soldiers entered the court. They were outside. They did not interfere with the work of the judge who was listening to this case.
Perhaps you praise the independence of the judiciary when the judiciary is in your favor, meaning in favor of the government. But it seems to me when the judiciary moves independently, your government gets nervous and says things like this.
But that statement you've made is quite heavy indeed. It implies that government has done that sort of thing time and time again. It happened once. There were particular circumstances that led us to do what happened, and it's not happened before. Government has lost cases before the courts of law. In some of these cases, we have appealed. In other cases, we have actually won. And we're proud of all that because it's an indication that our judiciary is a vibrant institution.
Now, doesn't this suggest, Mr. Minister, that your case against Dr. Besigye may be on a shaky legal ground if the judiciary is thinking in this direction?
Wait and see, but quite frankly, the statements which were made were highly unusual. How do you, in a case that is already before you, pass judgment before that case, the courts have heard the two sides?
Mr. Minister, I thank you very much for talking with me.
Thank you too. Bye-bye.
Uganda Information Minister Nsaba Buturo speaking to me from Kampala on why the government believes the Uganda judiciary may be partial to jailed opposition leader Kizza Besigye. On Daybreak Africa, it's 5 minutes past the hour. Libya Supreme Court has thrown out the death sentences against five Bulgarian nurses and a Palestinian doctor who allegedly infected Libyan children with the AIDS virus. The court says Sunday it has accepted their appeal against the sentences. News report quoted Libyan Justice Minister Ali Hasnawi will be retried in 1 month before new judges. Bulgarian President Georgi Pavlov says dismissing the death sentences gives Bulgaria hope that justice will prevail. The U.S. State Department tells Voice of America that the decision is a positive development and that the medics should be allowed to go back to Bulgaria and to Palestine. On Daybreak Africa, it's now coming up at 6 minutes past the hour. The World Food Program warns it will have to cut food rations by half for more than 80,000 Angolan and Congolese refugees in Zambia because it has run out of cash. The WFP says tens of thousands of Liberian refugees in Guinea are also threatened with reductions in their daily food allotments. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva for the Voice of America.
WFP spokesman Simon Plus says 82,000 refugees in Zambia will have their food rations cut in half from January 1st, unless the agency gets $8.5 million from donors. Refugees live in camps and settlements in remote areas of Zambia and rely entirely on WFP for their food supplies. He says WFP was forced to make similar reductions in food rations last year with serious consequences.
In the camps, the malnutrition rates and morbidity increased instantly. Our colleagues from HCRD also noticed that sexually transmitted infections increased too, like AIDS, as some refugees had to turn to prostitution in exchange for food, which is very unfortunate. We also see that there are increasing dropping out rates in schools, as people, as parents, don't send their kids to school anymore because they need them to work, to do dirty labor, and to get some money to buy food.
The 82,000 Angolan and Congolese refugees are the last of some 150,000 who fled to Zambia from civil wars over the past 20 years. A similar tragedy is playing out in West Africa. The United Nations has appealed for nearly $147 million to support aid operations in 16 West African countries in the coming year. The response so far has been very poor. WFP spokesman says lack funds is forcing the agency to cut food rations on January 1st, for 52,000 Liberian refugees in Guinea.
The lack of funding has forced WFP to cut food rations for Liberian refugees in Guinea several times since August 2004. The 1,835 kilocalories they get now are just 87% of what they should eat to stay healthy. And the new cuts down to 1,600 calories will be just 75% of what they should eat.
Mr. Plus says the forecast for 2006 is far from encouraging. He says the general level of interest by the international community in this corner of the world is not very high. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
It's Monday morning, December 26th, and this is Daybreak Africa. We are coming to you on the Voice of America. The time is 9 minutes past the hour, and still to come on our program, we look back in 2005 at Africa's first reaction to Pope Benedict XVI's election. Also, the legal status of East African women, and your weather forecast, and Mark Oldman's sports. And a half minutes past the hour in Ghana, 168 police officers have been declared wanted by the police administration for deserting the police service. They are also alleged to have breached the retirement procedure contrary to the Police Service Act. Heve Eklu is the director of the Ghana Police Public Relations Directory. From the capital, Accra, he sheds more light on the matter with reporter Peter Clarke.
As we indicated in the news story that we put out, they had flouted police regulations, because our regulation says that if you want to retire prematurely, that is, if you have not up to the compulsory retirement age of 60, all you have to do is to inform the Inspector General of Police 3 months before you retire. If it is approved, your accoutrement, I mean the uniform, your ID card and other things are collected from you, and then you are given a letter indicating that you have been discharged from the police service. But unfortunately, these 168 officers failed to follow this procedure. Some of them are keeping their uniforms and their identity cards. They left unceremoniously without telling us. And for that matter, they had flouted the regulations. And the police service regulation says that anybody who absents himself continuously for 21 days without authority is automatically declared a deserter. And if he's arrested, faces court action, which can lead to a fine or 3 months imprisonment.
You know that since the police service has all the needed information about these people, it will be easy for the police force to get hold of them or contact them in a way. Why hasn't it been done?
Well, attempts were made because all these officers deserted from separate stations across the region. Their addresses were contacted, their next of kin were contacted, but unfortunately, their whereabouts were not known. They didn't indicate where they were going. In most of the cases, they applied for leave. They went and never came back. Some sought permission to travel outside the country, and they never came back to the country.
There have been issues whereby some police uniforms and other gadgets have been cited in nefarious activities like armed robbery and all that. Now, there is an issue of confidence among Ghanaians. How is your outfit planning to win back the confidence that has so far been lost?
I would not say that the confidence is lost, because it takes a very bold management to come. this information to let the public know that these people are no longer in the police service. We have given assurances that we have actually taken steps to forestall any of these events. For example, when they left their duty post, the officers in charge reported to the headquarters. So people were posted to fill in those vacancies. In addition to that, we have the capacity to contain any situation. So they are closely being monitored. And if there is any information that comes out, especially from the public, we deal with it promptly. And then we tell the public about what action we have taken. So we are improving on our information management so that the public will know what actions we have taken against Iran policemen. The public will understand our procedures and then maybe advise their relations accordingly.
There was also this point that about 50 police officers have been sacked from the service for committing various crimes, that is bribery, corruption, and involvement in armed robbery. What is your reaction to this?
When this new Inspector General of Police came, he instituted a punishment and reward system, and this was publicly made known so that those who had excelled themselves are awarded. The 50 of them were involved in other acts of misconduct. Some even bordered on criminality, and a lot of them are facing criminal action in the courts, but they have been dismissed from the service.
David Eklu is the director of the Ghana Police Public Relations Directory. He spoke with reporter Peter Clotty from the capital, Accra. You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. It's coming up at 13:30 past the hour. Pope Benedict XVI celebrated his first Christmas Mass yesterday and called for a new world order in which humanity unites against terrorism, poverty, disease, and environmental destruction. Back in April this year, when the Pope was first elected, I spoke with Monsignor Matthew Odong, Vicar General of the Archdiocese of Gulu in northern Uganda, and asked him for his reaction to the election of Pope Benedict XVI.
Well, let me just briefly tell you that here in northern Uganda, the new